8:30 p.m. tonight, the Tokyo Olympics will officially be opened. A year and a bit later than originally planned, but it brings over 11,000 athletes together, competition in 339 events across 33 sports. Everything looks a little different at this Olympics and Paralympics, though. Limited crowds, athletes spending less time in Tokyo around their event, masks everywhere. But at its core, it's still one of the greatest sporting meets in the world that brings people together to showcase their skill, determination, their heart. But what really happens at an Olympic Games, behind the scenes, off the track, the court, out of the pool? Let's find out. Your guides to the behind the scenes of the Olympics and Paralympics is six-time Olympic rower, James Tompkins. James, good morning.
Good morning, Kai. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And we also have two-time Paralympic swimmer, Maddie Elliott, as well. Hey, Maddie.
Hey, how are we going?
Good. Thanks for being here. James, you're in Tokyo at the moment. How are things looking?
Things are looking great. The competition has started already. In fact, I'm straight after this, I'm heading down to the rowing to see the heats, some of the heats, and our competitors compete. So it's all getting pretty exciting. It's very warm and quite humid and sunny. And as you said, I heard in the intro, the time zone is perfect, especially for people in the current situation on the eastern seaboard of Australia.
Yeah, working from home has never looked so good to just have the Olympics on in the background all day. Does it have a different feel behind the scenes compared to other games?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I did go to the village a couple of days ago, and the athletes are always excited and to be there. But they're also really thankful that Tokyo and the Olympic movement pushed, and all the sports pushed through to put the games on. So there's that excitement, but real thankfulness. But then, but it's quite sad for the city. I mean, Tokyo is such an incredible city, and to have a games where people can't go out into the city and explore and experience an incredible world city. That's certainly missing. You know, the buzz of an Olympic city is incredible, but that's just because there's no one here.
Yeah,
basically just the locals.
Yeah, Maddie,
that's very different.
Maddie, what are your memories of arriving in London at the Paralympics?
I actually don't have a very good memory of London for the Paralympics because I was so young and I was only 13 when I went over there. I was pretty much sheltered from a lot of it, because they wanted to just protect me and I was an underdog of the team. I don't really have much memory of the Paralympics or the village in London, whereas I have a lot more knowledge and a lot more memory of Rio 2016.
Yeah, so what was that like? Take me there. When you work out who your bunkie is, when you get to your room, when you unpack your kit, what is that like, Maddie?
It's like a little kid on Christmas Day, really, because just like obviously seeing the athletes arriving in Tokyo, they're getting more kit that are waiting for them in their room. It was pretty much the same as us when we arrived in Rio, because we had our kit waiting for us in our room as well. And it was, like I said, it's like a kid on Christmas Day. You get all this bedding, you get all this uniform, you get this massive room. It's quite surreal.
How much mingling are you doing with your competitors or competitors from other nations, other sports?
For me, I didn't really mingle with anyone apart from the Australian athletes because I was there to compete. But then after the competitions and everything, I tried to do a little bit of mingling at the time, but then I really wanted to just focus on watching our other Australians compete at the same time.
Yeah, it's hard because you are there for a very big job, Maddie. Like, that has to be your focus.
Yeah, it really is. And the fact that when you have, coaches and that telling you you can't walk so many steps a day and you've got to keep up your energy and you've got to try and sleep when you can, it could have been a bit difficult, but then it was also useful at the same time.
James, I was about to ask you a similar question to what Maddie just said, saying how scheduled is your time leading up to your events? Like, how closely are you being monitored by your team, by your coaches?
Well, you're being monitored, but you're monitoring yourself as well. Like, you're trying to stay as fresh as possible and limit the amount of walking you're doing. You start walking up and down stairs backwards so you don't, work the quads too much for rowing, really important, stuff like that. So you're so ready for your event. But then, as Maddie said, afterwards, that's when you're going out to support your fellow athletes and you're in the dining hall and talking to all sorts of different people from, from your sport or from other sports. So it is pretty cool. But yeah, that, before your competition and during your competition, it's pretty you know, it's all smiles and friendly in the dining hall when you're waving at competitors going past. But that's about it. You know, you're there to maximise your performance, and then once you've done that, then afterwards, yeah, you just relationships, that's the key.
There is that balance, though, because you might be finished halfway through the first week and then there's still a whole heap of other people in the village who are still walking backwards upstairs. I can imagine it gets a bit tense at times, James.
Well, it does. And, you know, so rowing and swimming finish in the first week of the games. So two really big sports as far as numbers are concerned. And so, you know, it's all really serious for that first week. And the second week, it's out, you know, generally watching the team sports, the hockey and the basketball and the water polo and, you know, all those big teams. So the mood in the village does change quite a bit under normal circumstances when you can go out and experience the city and celebrate and, you know, do all that sort of stuff. So, yes, the mood in the village does change a lot.
Hey, Maddie, what was the food like?
The food for me in 2016 was actually, I would say, okay, because I was a very picky eater at the time, so I'd eat a lot of the same food. I sometimes, during the competition, might have sat by myself and had some pizza when I wasn't supposed to, because the pizza was that good. whoopsie. Oh, well.
You still did all right. It's fine.
I mean, look, I competed well. That's all that matters.
That's it.
But, yeah, the food for me was actually okay.
What were the things that you weren't expecting about village lifestyle, Olympic village lifestyle, Maddie, that kind of took you by surprise?
I have one really fond memory. So with the Rio 2016 one, because the village is so big, we had, like, village buses so that you can get on the bus inside the village to go around to the different stops that you need to go to, so you can get dropped off at the food hall or you can get dropped off at the gate to go to the other buses to go to your venue. And I have one really fond memory when I got on the bus. So with the Paralympics, we don't use all the dorms like the Olympics do. So there's some dorms that are just completely empty and their buildings are completely empty. And I got on the bus to go to the pool, to go to the other buses to go to the pool.
Yeah.
And it was just me and the bus driver going around to get off at the stop that I need to. And there's this security guy with this massive machine gun standing outside one of the empty buildings with his finger on the trigger ready to shoot someone if needed. I was on the bus by myself. I was only 17 years old and it was just me and this bus driver.
Did you just end up at the wrong part of the village?
No. I was checking out the views on the inside in the village to basically wait till my stop to get off the bus to go to the other bus. And it was actually a bit scary at the time because, like, being the only athlete on the bus,
yeah,
I was just like, oh, my God, is this what it's really like?
It is, you know, really interesting because we are, you know, you are in another country. There's different athletes from all sorts of walks of life as well. So there, you know, it is part of the experience is working out how people come together and share culture and conversations in that way, Maddie.
Yeah, it really is. And to see the way that people, like, with the amount of different disabilities that are in the village, the way that people eat, the way they walk, the way they get around to different places is absolutely incredible, and it's inspiring as well.
You will be watching from home this year, Maddie. What are you excited about as we prepare for the opening ceremony of the Olympics tonight, the Paralympics in a couple of weeks' time?
I'm most excited for the gymnastics, especially with Simone Biles competing for USA, because, like, obviously I didn't think that she'd come back for it. But I'm actually excited just to watch the games as a whole for the Olympics because it's going to be completely different without the spectators there, especially seeing it on TV, because you usually see all the spectators on the TV and you see their excitement and everything. It's going to be a completely different games for the athletes, for the coaches, for all the staff, and especially the viewers from around the world as well, and the same with the Paralympics.
Yeah. James, what does your next couple of weeks look like over there in Tokyo?
Well, still got a few meetings internally, but I'm trying to see as much support as possible and I've just received a text that I'll be presenting the medals to the women's 4x100 relay.
Oh, that's exciting.
Swimming, which would be really cool. And Australia, I think, we've got the four fastest female swimmers over 100 metres, so our relay team should be looking pretty good.
Well, if you're not popping gold on their neck, we'll be disappointed in you, James. You'll have let the team down, you'll have let the nation down.
I'll let the girls know that too.
Now, do you now practice? Like, is that a bit nerve-wracking? Like, it is quite a process to put that medal up and over their head and make sure you get it right, and they bend down and you reach up and the tray's there. Are you nervous?
Well, Kyra, in this environment, I'm not sure that we can hang the medals over their necks. I think they might have to pick them up themselves and put them on themselves. Who knows what it's going to look like, but it'll be pretty cool to watch the Aussies come home.
Well, we will see your face on the telly doing that in a few nights' time. James, enjoy your time in Tokyo. Thank you for giving us some time. Get down there to those rowing heats and enjoy it.
Thank you very much. And I hope everyone back home really enjoys and embraces our Aussie team. They're going gangbusters over here. They're so excited to be representing the country and themselves. They are going to do their absolute best, so get behind them.
Thanks, James. Maddie Elliott, great to catch up with you as well. Enjoy watching it all from home.
Thanks for having me, and enjoy the games.
Maddie Elliott, two-time Paralympic swimmer. We also heard from James Tomkins, a Paralympic rower as well, over there at the moment, sort of in that more official capacity as part of the Australian team. He's in a six-time Olympic rower, will now be a medal presenter as well. I hadn't even thought about that whole process of them being on the podium and bending down and someone very excitingly putting the medal on their necks, and then that awkward moment of, do you kiss their cheek? Do you give them a hug? Do you shake their hand? All of that is going to be different. It'll be a very different Olympic Games that will officially open from 8:30 tonight.